से वासुदेवाया
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
यस्माक्षरमतीतोऽहम् अक्षराद् अपि चोत्तमः अतोऽस्मि लोके अद्वैते च कथित पुरुषोत्तमः बिकॉज आई एम ट्रांसेंडेंटल बियॉन्ड बोथ द फैलिबल एंड द इनफैलिबल एंड बिकॉज आई एम द ग्रेटेस्ट I am celebrated both in the world and in the Vedas as that Supreme Person. One more encyclopedia. Because I am transcendental beyond both the fallible and the infallible, and because I am the greatest, I am celebrated both in the world and in the Vedas as that Supreme Person. Purport, no one can surpass the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, neither the conditioned soul nor the liberated soul. He is therefore the greatest of personalities. Now, it is clear here that the living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are individuals. The difference is that the living entities, either in the conditioned state or in the liberated state, cannot surpass in quantity the inconceivable potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is incorrect to think of the Supreme Lord and the living entities as being on the same level or equal in all respects. There is always the question of superiority and inferiority between their personalities. The word Uttama is very significant. No one can surpass the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word Loke signifies in the Paurush Agama, the Smriti scriptures, as confirmed in the Nirukti dictionary, Lokate Vedarto Nena, the purpose of the Vedas is explained by the Smriti scriptures. The Supreme Lord in his localized aspect of Paramatma is also described in the Vedas themselves. The following verse appears in the Vedas, Chandogya Upanishad. Tava desha samprasado smach charirat samuthaya param jyoti rupam sampadya svena rupena ab yinish padite sa uttama purusha. The super soul coming out of the body enters the impersonal Brahma jyoti. Then in his form he remains in his spiritual identity. That supreme is called the Supreme Personality. This means that the Supreme Personality is exhibiting and diffusing his spiritual effulgence, which is the ultimate illumination. That Supreme Personality also has a localized aspect as Paramatma by incarnating himself as the son of Satyavati and Parashara. He explains the Vedic knowledge as Vyasa did. Bhagavad Gita, Lord Sri Krishna explains the Supreme Absolute Truth, which is himself, which is described by Lord Krishna in various ways in this Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes he directly refers to himself, Aham sarvasya prabhavaha atasarvam pravartate. Everything comes from me. This means that Krishna is supreme, being the origin of everything. Or even more directly, Vataparataram nanyat kinchit asti vinanjaya. Nothing is equal to me, Krishna says, nothing above me. Sometimes he refers to himself in the third person, as in this case, he describes the Purushottama. In these verses, he's describing different kinds of living beings. There are the fallible and the infallible, but beyond them is the person who is Purushottama. He is above all. Then in the next verse, after this verse, which we're reading today, Krishna describes Yomam, Ya, He Who, Nam. About me, yomameva samudho jnanati purushottamam. Who knows me? I am that person, actually. As stated before, Aham Sarvasya Prabhu, I am the Supreme, because everything comes from me. So this Purushottam who is being described is Krishna. So how Krishna is supreme is being described in various ways by Krishna in this Bhagavad Gita. That is described in more detail, in great detail in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But the same basic point is being made again and again, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the main point of preaching of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's supreme movement, namely the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We are simply preaching Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mostly people don't have any idea Supreme Personality of Godhead anyway. They maybe have some vague idea of God. But what is the meaning of God? God means a person. Which person? It's a person, not just any person. Person means specifically a specific person. It's a very specialized job being God. Just like in any specialized job, you can't just have anybody. You can't just pick up the construction workers, pick them up and make them a chartered, give them the chartered accountant job. He can't do it. He's not qualified. So you can't just make anyone into God. They're not qualified. It takes great qualification to be God. There's only one person who's got that qualification. That's Krishna. To be God, if you see the job description, God. You have to be all-powerful, all-opulent, all-merciful, in control of everything, knowing, it's like you have to, job qualification, you have to have MA, PhD, you have to know something. So for the job of God, you have to know everything. Past, present, and future, directly and indirectly. You have to have certain skills, job skills, such as being able to control millions of universes, have universes emanating from your body. So Krishna has all these skills. He fits the job. Now there are many imitation gods, but they don't do the job properly. Just like Krishna's name, Hari, means he takes away all your miseries. So there's so many imitation gods, but they can't take away your misery. In fact, if you go to them, you'll become more miserable, because by making the sin of accepting them as God instead of Krishna as God, you become more sinful and you get more troubles. Therefore, if at all we are going to speak of God, then we must be speaking of Krishna. Who is that person? Who is that? If there's God, we want to know Him. Why keep Him vague? If there is God, there is God. For those who are agnostic or atheistic, they may doubt the existence of God. That is their foolishness. But anyone with even low IQ, you don't have to have a big brain to understand, but little clear. You don't need to have a very big IQ to understand, but little clear intelligence. You understand there must be someone behind this whole manifestation. Nothing exists. Nothing comes into being without someone behind it. So who is the person behind the whole universe? Actually, behind the whole universe, of course, there is God, but that's not His greatest glory. You think that in the Christian religion, they say God is the creator. But that's not the main, it's not His main glory, that He's created this universe. It's a very small thing for Him. We think it's very great, because we think this universe is very great. But this is just the reject refuse pile. This is the garbage can. This material world is just like the garbage can. We're all like the rats and the worms and the maggots and the flies crawling around in it, enjoying it. It's exactly like that. If you see the garbage can, it's the reject place. We're all the rubbish things which are no good, you throw it out. So that's our position. We're all rubbish. We're thrown out from the spiritual world
and we are looking in the garbage for something to enjoy. That's our position. And among the different worms in the garbage can, some are PhDs. And they're saying, some of them discuss among themselves, do you think there's anyone ever made this garbage can? No, there was just a big explosion once, and then it came into being. Okay. Some worms are more respectable than others. I'm a very respectable worm. We have a very great dynasty. See, my father was a very respectable worm. He come from a very respectable dynasty. Very high class worms. We don't mix with those low class worms. We live in the respectable area. We don't live in the bottom of the garbage can. We live in the top of the garbage can. We get all the fresh garbage when it's thrown out. So this is our position. In the material, this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he described that this material life, he gave a very good example. It's like a ditch into which people pass through. So I'm not just making this up. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself said. So this Krishna conscious movement is preaching, don't remain in the garbage. Come out. Is there life beyond the garbage can? There is. Is there something better than this life simply eating, sleeping, passing stool, growing old, dying? Is there something more? Is there more to life than this? Yes. What is that? Krishna. That is our real position, to be with Krishna. But because we are worms addicted to eating stool, we're not interested in Krishna. And even the worms, they will discuss among themselves that, yes, the highest reality is to be a worm, or I am the greatest worm. But there is beyond this, there is Krishna in the spiritual world. This is the real life. Materialistic people, those whose vision is limited, they can't understand this. So the job of the Krishna Conscious Movement is to wake people up. There's better life than this. Everyone is interested in a better life. You've all come from India to Dubai. Why? Because you wanted something better, isn't it? You're thinking India is no good. Oh, sorry, India is not as good as we'd like it to be. Let's go to Dubai. Life is better in Dubai. We have information. There's a better place than Dubai. Where? America? Maybe. Better than America? Don't think so. It seems like America's the best. Everyone wants to go to America. But much better than America is Krishna Loka. Because that is Vaikuntha, place of no anxiety. Who is free from anxiety? Anybody here? If you go to America, will you be free of anxiety? Is anyone in the world free of anxiety? Krishna is free from anxiety. Krishna doesn't have any anxiety. In the spiritual world, there's no anxiety. There's no death. Everyone in this material world is fearful. Why? Because at the back of their mind, everyone knows they have to die. And modern life especially, because there's no philosophy of understanding God or the future life, that's one reason why they have to have all this stupid entertainment and why so many people have intoxication and drugs and drunkenness. Why? Why all these things? Because in the back of their minds, everyone is feeling so much anxiety. I have to die. So they want to forget. That's why they become absorbed in sports, or they become intoxicated, or they like to watch so many, they watch TV, you just, what is watching TV? You just forget where you are, who you are, what you're doing. It's like an intoxication. You forget everything and watch something on TV. Why do people want all these things or need all these things? Because they want to forget their present situation, because in their present situation they're full of anxiety. So they cover it over by looking as if everyone has to put on a show of being happy. But actually everyone is in anxiety, because in the back of their minds, everyone knows, I have to die. And they don't want that. No one wants to die. It's a cause of great fear and anxiety. It should be fearful, because death is a very suffering condition. And then, for those who have been very sinful, what comes after death is certainly very fearful. So they want to forget this. But a devotee of Krishna lives on the platform of reality by remembering Krishna. He knows this is the reality. Sometimes people say that religion is escapism. Have you heard this? People say religion is escapism. Why don't you be realistic? You see that first point is that in the so-called real world, everyone is always trying to escape anyway by the same thing, watching TV, taking intoxication. They're always trying to escape from their so-called reality. But then if you say escapism, well, you're trying to escape, you don't like your life, so we want to escape. Yes, we want to escape. If you say we are escapists, it's true. Any sane person should want to escape from this material existence. If you can escape from repeated birth and death, then why not do it? Why should you not escape? If someone is in the prison, he's trying to get out, that's intelligent. If you think, if someone accuses you, you're an escapist, sure, I'm an escapist. Why should you be in the prison, beaten with sticks every day? Get out. You're in a horrible situation. See what you can do to get out. Now, if you're in the prison, you may think, well, it's not possible. It's very difficult. There are so many guards and restrictions. There must be some way out. Try to find. Otherwise, you're in a hopeless situation. Material life is a hopeless situation. But if there is a way to get out, then why not take it? If there is a better life, then why not take it? Why not take it up? That is Krishna consciousness, to take this up. That we are not meant for this petty life. Material life is petty life. It's just, there's one play by Shakespeare. Shakespeare is blessed with many people actually in the material world are blessed with some realization of the material world. But they don't, unless they have Shastra, they don't have the positive solution. But many times they can see materialistic people, they're given some insight into the nature of material life. I was just seeing something recently. Marlon Brando, some famous film star, Marlon Brando. So some quote from him. Now he's supposed to be a very great film star, very famous. People think, oh, what is great, great success. So he was asked, well, what do you think about your acting career? He said, it's a bum's life. He said, the only thing I got out of it was enough money to pay my psychiatrist bill. So he had some realization. The whole life is so miserable, you have to see a psychiatrist all the time. But at least you got enough money to pay him. That's all. There you go. So I was saying about Shakespeare. He made one play, Much Ado About Nothing. This is the whole material world. Much ado about, big, big fuss about what? Getting all excited about what? About insignificant, just like the same thing, the worms in the garbage can. And they may be having a general election. We'll be elected to be the head worm. So what? or they may be having their different fashions, or this Miss Worm 1999, who wiggles her hips in a very attractive manner. You know, the worms, they move like this. Much ado about nothing. We take it very seriously. This sports, it's very funny, you'll see if they have on the TV. The way the sports commentators, the way they make their commentary. As if it's something very, very serious. It's just rubbish, you know? Hitting a ball backwards and forth. I mean, it's okay. It's a game that can keep you healthy. It's a good game for kids. But they spend millions of dollars on watching people jumping here and diving and hitting the ball. They take it very seriously. It's much ado about nothing. That's the whole material world. They get so excited over such useless things. The Krishna consciousness means to come to the platform of reality. I mean, anyone, like I'm saying, you don't have to be a big PhD. Just if you have a little clear intelligence, anyone can understand this material life. It's so meaningless. Work hard, get money, get a job, grow old, die. And what did you do all your life? What is the point? Why? Again, another material example. It's some silly TV program I watched when I was a kid. How that was in the days when they were just making computers new. So a computer in those days meant the whole room. With some ticker tape coming out of it. So in the program they showed, one man said to another, this computer, you can ask any question. It will give you the answer. So he typed in the question, why? And then the computer blew up. It's actually like a philosophical point. But why? Why? What's the purpose of it all? Computer can't answer. The computer might tell you which year the Battle of Waterloo. Have you ever heard of the Battle of Waterloo? You see, does it matter what happened in the Battle of Waterloo to you sitting here in Dubai? No. Still, you have to learn these kinds of things at school. What year was it anyway? I don't know. I wasn't very good. Anyway, Hare Krishna. So, the computer may store so much information like that. Higher knowledge. People think computer, oh. Higher knowledge. If you go in the Indian villages, even now, you pull out your computer. I was just in a village recently in Gujarat. Actually, at a station. I got stuck at one village station. It's a long story. Anyway, I thought, well, I have to wait 2 hours for the train. I might as well pull out my computer and do some work. So it's sitting in the station master's office. So they all came around. Oh, higher knowledge. Speaking Gujarati, I couldn't understand. They said in English, higher knowledge. What higher knowledge? To play with a computer. They think that's higher knowledge. The computer, yes, you can store a lot of information. Actually, in my computer, I do have higher knowledge. I have all of Prabhupada's books. And many other books too. But they were thinking, because you can do this and something comes up on the screen. No, higher knowledge. So a computer can give you information. Now we have the age of information, the information highway. You can get on the information highway, the World Wide Web, and you can get information on practically anything, isn't it? You can get so much information about so many things. But what is the purpose of life? That is the real information that you can also get. You have a Hare Krishna homepage. But materialistic knowledge, for all that it's there, materialistic way of life, ultimately, what is the purpose? No purpose. It's meaningless. There's so many people, just like we say, Marlene Brando going to the psychiatrist. Just see. This person has got everything a materialistic person may aspire for. Money, more than enough to pay his psychiatrist. Prestige, fame, access to all the film stars, the film starettes. Anything a person may want. I presume he must be good looking also to be a film star. Usually they're good looking. Healthy, you have to be healthy, it's hard work, no doubt. So he's got everything anyone may want, but he says, I have to go to my psychiatrist because there's no meaning. People are searching for meaning in money, prestige, social life, but ultimately there's nothing there. The sum total of everything in the material world is nothing. If you bring it all together, if you bring together everything that materialistic people may aspire for, the sum total is zero. Nothing. There's nothing there. You may think, I will be fulfilled and happy by getting good job, nice family, home. Nothing there. Without Krishna, everything is empty. Without Krishna, everything is a failure. And with Krishna, even the so-called failure, failed life, it is successful. Even if you don't have a good job, even if your business is failing, even if everyone in the world scorns you, it may be that your family rejects you. In many cases, when people take to Krishna consciousness, their family rejects them many cases. Many times, all the time I'm getting letters. My parents, they told me, don't ever come back to the home. Either give up your Krishna bhakti or just forget us. You take Krishna or you take us. What are they going to do? I have to take Krishna. But it's a shock. Oh, I thought my parents loved me. Everything they might have aspired for, happiness with family, all these things. And they got Krishna. That is meaningful. Everything else is meaningless. Another thing we're seeing many times is because traveling different places, meeting many people, we see actually when it's written in Shastra and Prabhupada, many times make the point that in the material world there's no love. We see how true it is. Often you may think that that's some overstatement or fanaticism, but many times we see how the so-called material love, it's not love at all. I've seen so many times, I've seen, somehow or other being a sannyasi, but we hear about all about people's lives and how the parents, they're very adamant about their children, how they must marry, if they're from a Jain family, they have to marry a Jain. Even though they don't want to, they want to marry a devotee of Krishna. But they want them to marry a Jain. Why? Not that they care, but because our relatives will say bad about us. You can spoil your daughter's whole life by marrying her to someone she doesn't want to, who doesn't want her to chant Hare Krishna, just for the sake of your own prestige. So many times we see that. Or someone, they get married, so-called love marriage, and they say, well, you know, I'm not doing the cooking. I'm not doing the cleaning. You never said that before we got married. You said you love me. I said, love me means you don't want me doing work, do you? And that these things are going on all the time. And then they spend their whole life fighting. And you should wash the pots. No, you wash them. And they don't get washed. And then they go outside to eat, and then they get divorced. What do you expect? So what is this love in this material world? It's not there. So many times, you see. so-called love, it's simply some how to manipulate others. In Krishna consciousness, this is the reality. This is the point we're saying again and again and again. You may think, well, why are we saying again and again and again? We heard this all before. We should say again and again and again because we have doubts, just like here in Gita, Krishna is saying again. He's already said several times in Gita, before this verse, he's spoken that he is the Supreme Lord, but he's saying it again and again and again so that we can be convinced. Because due to our misintelligence or wrong intelligence, we're always doubting. Here we, Yomameva Asamudho. Krishna says, Janati Purushottamam. Who knows me, Krishna says, without doubting. Sasaravabhut. He knows everything. And therefore, what is, if you know that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, then, Ajate Nam, you must worship me. Sarvabhavena Bharata. In all respects. That's another thing. Sometimes you meet people say, yes, yes, I know Krishna, I know about Krishna. If you know Krishna, then you must worship Krishna with all respect. Iti madhva bhajante mam buddha bhava samandita. With all respect, with full love. If you know Krishna, you must worship Krishna. It's not enough to say, I know Krishna. Yes, I know Krishna. Don't tell me about Krishna, I already know. You know Krishna, to know him is to love him. You actually know Krishna. Therefore, Prabhupada is giving so many books, writing so many books, encouraging his disciples to distribute these books. So one time he asked some of his disciples, why are we stressing so much on this book publication distribution? Prabhupada himself gave the answer, because we are giving knowledge. By knowledge, you will be liberated. The root cause of bondage in this material world is ignorance. Ignorance of our relationship with Krishna. That's why you see many sannyasis from ISKCON are coming to Dubai. They like to come because they're nicely received by all of you. And Sharjah also. Sorry, whenever I go to Sharjah, I always say Dubai because you know, there's not that much difference, just a little bit of sand in between. You saw the welcome to Sharjah sign, that's all, as you go under a bridge. Although you can't really see much difference. So why are you coming? So many ISKCON sannyasis are coming. Because you are appreciating that sannyasi is coming and giving some knowledge. It's very nice, thank you very much. You have that culture. Still that much culture is there. Prabhupada said, speaking about India, he gave the Bengali saying that Marahati, lakh taka, even a dead elephant is worth a lakh of rupees. So Prabhupada is saying, even though Indian culture is practically dead, still something is there. Whatever's there, it's however, when you're in India, you just think, oh, it's so bad how everything's so materialistic. And when you go to the West and come back, you think, well, it's not so bad after all. The West is extremely degraded, and India is trying its best to be degraded, but they're not so good at being, they're trying hard, but it's just not so natural for Indians to be gross sense enjoyers. I mean, really gross. The West is unbelievably horrible. It's so degraded. Those of you who have been to the West, you see, it's just, I mean, I don't want to speak. It's really disgusting, isn't it? I think most of you probably visited the great cities of the Western world. Who's been to London, New York? You've been in Italy. You've seen the advertisements, the big billboards, they still have them? I don't want to say. It's not fit to speak in public. What things they have. So horrible. So degraded. Really, subhuman. Not at all civilized. It's amazing how people all over the world, they think the Western world is civilized. Not at all. It's so degraded. Subhuman. Even they're promoting in the schools homosexuality, abortion, all these things. You're not even, in America, you're not even allowed to say anything against homosexuality. You're not even allowed to say you don't like it. They'll take you to court. But you're discriminating. You should be fair to everyone, equal to everyone. What a horrible society. So, at least in India, there's some culture left. Appreciating spiritual knowledge. Of course, that's also much degraded. Whenever some big cheetah comes, so many people come to see them. So many cheetahs, in the name of Vedic culture, in the name of Dharma, in the name of Hinduism, simply cheating. Why are they cheating? Because they're posing to give knowledge, but they're not giving knowledge. They're giving the wrong idea. If you take the position of guru, but you don't teach that Krishna is the Supreme Personality and you should surrender to Him, then that's called guru giri. Only guruship. Just like your dada giri. So you have guru giri. This Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to call guru giri. Dangerous people. Really, very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. If you get in the clutches of a bogus guru, then you're extremely dangerous. You may think, well, it's very nice, we're singing these bhajans, and our guru blesses us, and they say that by his blessing you can get lots of money, or whatever it may be. Very dangerous. Because in the name of giving knowledge, it's giving you more ignorance, by which you are bound up in this material world more. Be careful. Be careful. Don't be cheated. There are so many cheaters in the name of spiritual life. Therefore, again, Prabhupada is stressing, we are giving knowledge in these books. We don't speak any knowledge outside of the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. Of course, we may give some examples, just like I'm giving the example of Malinbandha, for example. But that's only to demonstrate the point which is made in Bhagavad Gita. It's not that we quote Malinbandha, that he's as if he's some tattva-darshi. But he has some realization. Many people, they may have realization this material world is miserable, but they don't know the solution. The solution is Krishna. So, in this Krishna conscious movement, we only stress what is given in Gita, Bhagavat, what is given in Shastra, without any misinterpretation. Bhagavad Gita as it is. It's very clear, very straightforward. If you take it, everything is clear. Your path to Krishna, clear. Go back to home, back to God. You have to take it. Therefore we're stressing. Same thing, again and again and again. If you come to our satsangs, you'll probably hear the same thing, more or less, again and again and again. Because our message is very clear. It's Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are His servants. We have to serve Him. There's no need for any theatricals or weeping shows or any such things. Simply, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Let us hear that again and again. Let us serve Krishna again and again. Same thing throughout life. When we come, what do? We chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare. It's the same mantra. Some may say, well, you think we could sing something new? We've been singing this for 25 years. Is there any other song? Well, we have, Jai Radhe, Jai Krishna, Jai Vrindavan, so many different songs, which are all expansions or elaborations on the Maha Mantra. But basically the same thing. Chanting Hare Krishna, taking prasad, discussing Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we are all His servants. The same thing. Because This is the absolute truth. It doesn't change. It's the same thing. But it doesn't become dry or boring. We don't get bored. It's not that, oh, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the 700,000th time I said that. Maybe it is. Good. But you don't, because it's wonderful to know. It's very ecstatic to know that there is Krishna. Beyond this garbage can of the material world, there's hope. We don't have to stay forever in this miserable material world. Dukhalayam. Purushottam Chaitanya Das, just giving some example. You have bhojanalaya. Means a place of bhojan. Himalaya. Means a place of hima, means ice or snow. So dukkhalaya means the place of misery. That is the material world. Beyond this material world, there is Krishna loka, where there is no dukkha. That is sukhalaya. This material world is dukkhalayam ashashvatam. And the spiritual world is sukhalayam shashvatam. So anyone who's got a little bit of spiritual intelligence, they must take up Krishna consciousness. Don't get stuck in this material world. Go to Krishna. We repeat it again and again and again. Krishna is the Supreme Person of the Godhead. He is Purushottama. He is the Supreme Person. Devotees take great pleasure in repeatedly emphasizing, Krishna is our Lord, Krishna is our Master. We are surrendering to Krishna. We don't know anyone but Krishna. And for one who knows no one but Krishna, Krishna says, I also don't know anyone but my devotees. Sadhava vidyam mahyam sadhanam vidyam tuham. Maranyate na jananti naham tebhya managati. This verse, very nice verse, was spoken by Krishna, Lord Vishnu, to Durvasa Muni. And Durvasa Muni, he was surprised. What's going on? I'm a great yogi, respected rishi, brahmana, and I'm being chased all over the universe by this Sudarshan Chakra. What did I do wrong? It's not such a big thing. I mean, this Ambarishi made an offense to me, and anyway, he's only a kshatriya and a householder, and I'm a rishi and a yogi and a tyagi. And now I have to come all the way up to Vishnu Loka to beg forgiveness from Lord Vishnu. Why are you making such a big fuss? And Lord Vishnu explained, you don't understand that the sadhu, the devotee, is in my heart and I am in his heart. I don't know anything but him and he doesn't know anything but me. This is our relationship. Devotee is so dear to Krishna. So for that, devotee can satisfy, he can sacrifice everything, just like I say. Devotee may have nothing in this material world. Basically, devotees, they're called akinchan. Means they don't have anything in this material world. They have no other hope but Krishna. They don't place their faith in anything in this material world. They place their faith only in Krishna. And they take great bliss in this material world. They place their faith only in Krishna. And they take great bliss in always remembering Krishna. And this is the point of the Krishna Conscious Movement. Simply to accept Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And preach that all over the world so that people, they can be relieved from their suffering. People are so much in ignorance, there's so much suffering, that they don't even receive. Quite a few are looking at their watches. It's a working day tomorrow. So yes, practical considerations. Krishna consciousness is a very practical movement also. You have to consider all these things. Hare Krishna. Any question? Ah, I was supposed to come earlier.
No.
Did you?
A little later.
Is it okay?
So maybe you can speak to them about whatever you
want. Yeah.
They're right here.
If this... Forgive me for asking the following rude doubts. If this is a trash bin, why was it created in the first place? Because we are trash. We need a proper place to go to. Those who don't want to serve Krishna, they're put in the garbage bin. That means us, where we belong. We have studied that Krishna is an incarnation of Vishnu. Where have you studied and who have you studied from? Have you studied Bhagavad Gita? Krishna says, Mataparataram Nanyat. No one is greater than me. Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo. So, the following questions are based on a supposition which is incorrect. Last year, more than 2 billion cows, 35 billion chicken were slaughtered the world over. If the cows have transmigrated to humans, the human population would be very higher than 6 billion. That's a comment. It's not a question. Although, one thing is, this isn't the only planet in which there are human beings, by the way. There are so many human species on different planets also. What has happened to the many species which have been destroyed by human beings? There haven't been any species destroyed by human beings. Again, this is not the only planet on which there is life. There's so many different planets. And even though they may say destroyed, and then you find, just like there was some fish, they said it was extinct for 3.5 billion years or something, and they found it again. According to Sadaputta Prabhu, our big scientist, there are dinosaurs still also. I saw a photo once. Bhanu Swami showed me a photo of a dinosaur. It was caught in a fishing net in Japan. Huge thing. You saw the crane holding it up. They sent it for inspection and it vanished. Surprising. There are so many things. Huge deity of Mahavishnu was found in Mexico. This must have been about 20 years ago. You ever heard of that? Of course not. They don't tell you such things. Generally, ISKCON devotees do not appreciate any other devotees paying obeisances to any other deities or temples other than Krishna or Vishnu. Is this correct? Yes. If you offer obeisances to deities, thinking them to be supreme, that's a misunderstanding. Although we also offer obeisances to demigods, this conduct is not that we don't offer obeisances to demigods, but we offer obeisances to them as being representatives of Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not that we don't offer obeisances to demigods, but we don't encourage demigod worship with the idea that all the gods are the same, or that different demigods are equal to Krishna or superior, because that is not the verdict of Shastra. The verdict of Shastra is that Krishna is supreme. So if you worship different demigods thinking that they are supreme, that is an offense to Krishna. Just like even someone may be highly placed, but if you overstress his position, then that's an insult to the person who has a higher position. Just like there may be in the presence of the chief of police, if you call a police constable, if you address him, or the DIG of police, and there's a constable, or ordinary police constable, or sergeant, one step up. So if you say to them, well, you know, the sergeant's as good as you, is it correct? No, it's an insult. You may think that, well, we're being very fair, but no. The DIG has his position, and the sergeant has his position. The sergeant is subordinate. So you may offer respect to the sergeant as being a representative of the police, but if you say that he's equal to the DIG, then it's actually an insult to the DIG. You're trying to pull him down. You know, in the 10 offenses, it is to consider the names of... Oh, I see. Here it's written that Vishnu is a demigod. How is that? I don't remember seeing that. It may be. I haven't seen this, how Vishnu said to be a demigod. Can you show me? It may be also sometimes in Prabhupada's books there are editorial mistakes. Actually, there are here and there some editorial mistakes. Due to, especially the earlier books, including the second canto, being edited very quickly by, at that time, Prabhupada's neophyte disciples who didn't know the philosophy very well. How can we clear that? No, Vishnu is not a demigod. Okay, I'll keep this with me. I'll send it to our editorial board to do the corrections. It may be a mistake. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the first edition, there were quite a lot of editorial, technical mistakes, especially in the early edition. Just like it was written, there is a planet of trees. Actually, Prabhupada dictated the planet of the pit trees. But in America, no one had ever heard of Pitri. So they heard planet of trees. Or Prabhupada's early disciples, they were mostly hippies with long hair and beards. So in one purport, Prabhupada says that everyone should keep very clean by regularly bathing, cutting their nails, washing their clothes, shaving their face. So who was editing, he had long beard, so this thing about shaving, he shaved it out of the Bhagavad Gita. Things like that happen. Okay, I'll make a reference. Give me your email address and I'll get back to you. You have an email address? Okay. Write it here. It may be some time before I get into this. Or you can write directly. I'll tell you. Why don't you write and make me a CC of this. Oh, we don't have space. Dravida.acbsp@bbtse. Write and ask him. And make me a CC. So, actually better than that, better than writing to him is write to Ekanath. Is it Ekanath or Ekanatha? Ekanath. HKS. If you don't get a reply within, say, 10 days, then send it again to Ekanath with an A. Ekanatha.
Ah, okay.
But I think it's just like that.
Okay.
Okay? Send me a copy to it so I can see. Okay? That's it.
The Sukhalaya. We are not only talking about Sukhalaya, we are always talking about Sukhalaya.
Well, we do talk about Sukhalaya also. You mean me in particular?
Yeah.
No, we speak about Sukhalaya also, but first we have to be convinced that this is Dukhalaya. Otherwise, if we only speak of Sukhalaya, then without understanding the difference between material happiness and spiritual happiness, if we only discuss about spiritual happiness, then without a proper understanding of the difference between the two, then we'll take that to be just some other kind of material happiness that I was speaking this morning. Sometimes people, they like to talk about Krishna, sing about Krishna, but they take it as another kind of material enjoyment. So first we have to understand that the nature of this material world, any kind of happiness based on our own sense gratification is the cause of our distress. Having understood that, then we can enter into the spiritual position. Generally the Sahajiyas, or those who take Krishna consciousness to be something very cheap or easy, they like to discuss Krishna's lila without discussing how miserable the material world is. But our acharyas have decried this process. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur summarized it. He said that first there has to be anartha nivritti, or getting free from all material attachments and contaminations. Then there is the question of artha pravritti, entering into that which is our real goal. So step by step. It's not that we are denying or decrying the goal of life, which is to enter into the spiritual world with Krishna. But as long as we have material attachments, we can't properly appreciate that. So the first thing is to work on cutting the material attachments. Simultaneously, we develop our spiritual attachment by chanting the names of Krishna, discussing about Krishna. Maybe especially when I come here, I see all the phantasmagoria. This Dubai, it's really a fantasy land. And all nice buildings, and it's just a big fantasy of material enjoyment. The misery of material life is patched over. So, what's next? Distributing this? Prasad, is that enough for everybody? I hope there's more.